Hello everyone and welcome once again to RTM Wrestling episode 69. New Japan improves everything. We are your 115,764th favourite wrestling podcast on the internet, and every week we come together to bring you our thoughts and opinions on... Is it still the number one brand? We don't know, but it's sports entertainment. Definitely sports entertainment. If you want to find us, we're on all sorts of social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at RTM Wrestling, and we put this podcast in full onto YouTube, SoundCloud, RTMWrestling.com and iTunes, so go and get it where it's most convenient for you. My name's Andy, and as always, I'm joined by the Pocket Rocket, Emma.
Hello.
How are you doing, Emma?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well also.
Good.
I'm very well also. We've had a little trip into town today.
We did. We did have a trip into town. Went to Moose Coffee. Beautiful. Got to wait 2 hours for a table. Just a standard 2 hour wait for breakfast.
Yeah. It's that good though.
It is awesome.
I really like that place. If you're in Manchester area, Moose is particularly
tasty. Or Liverpool, because it's in Liverpool as well. So yeah. Beautiful.
Particularly tasty place. I've got to say, I'm not that up to what's been going on this week.
No, aside from news, I've not watched anything.
No, I've seen the odd bit of YouTube. It's been, I think this week more than any, other things have been taking my attention. Particularly the Mayweather-McGregor tour.
Oh yes, gosh.
Which was just a complete fucking shit show. It could have been over and after the second one. They were just doing the same thing, pretty much. I mean, Conor tried to change it up, but Mayweather assumed that anybody who went to the other ones or was watching the other ones wouldn't have. It's like, oh, only LA is going to see LA's one.
I know.
London's going to see London's one.
He repeated himself, didn't he?
I don't know about you guys, but whoever's been there, maybe anyone who's followed it as well, I think Mayweather comes across as a bit thick.
Oh, yeah. More than a bit.
And I called him a faggot at London. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm surprised there wasn't more of a reaction to that. But then again, I suppose maybe UFC fans aren't as...
Well, it's boxing fans who are for Mayweather.
True.
It's not
boxing.
I don't know. I saw it got a bit of negative response, but then they were saying that Conor was racist for calling him a boy, but he calls every opponent boy. It doesn't add up.
How's that racist?
Showtime made this big thing about him being a fucking racist, and yet that their guy gets up and puts a homophobic slur on it, and then Showtime say nothing.
Of course.
They're just pieces of shit. I love how he fucking goes up to that guy and calls him a weasel.
I know. Yeah, it's
great. So funny.
It's great.
It's so funny. that and
trying to get progress tickets,
yeah, which is starting to frustrate me. But I know they're coming.
They will. They 100% will. They always kind of. There's loads.
The final week. There's always loads. But it would be sod's law the time we need it. Watch chapter 50.
Yes.
That was awesome. The CCK versus Mustache Mountain match was one of the best matches I've ever seen. It was just absolutely fantastic. Straight out of the gate, into the the dives and the amount of chairs. They actually, because Progress put up a thing about ticket prices going up, and didn't sort of jokingly cited a reason for it as being the amount of broken chairs.
That's hilarious.
Because they have to pay for every broken chair. So I'm dying for that, because this time next week we need to be there.
Absolutely.
Needs to be just coming out, actually. We'd be finished by now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'd be well finished by now.
Yeah. But, definitely need to do that. Other than that, I've seen the odd YouTube video. To be perfectly honest with you, with you all, it's not been grabbing me. It's not been pulling me in.
No.
But let's start the show as we always do, Em. With the news.
News music, please. Okay. Wait there while I load this shit up.
I've actually even got the Twickets site for Progress already up.
Have you?
I'm going to keep refreshing.
Keep refreshing. Okay, so in no particular order, this news, I stress, I'm 100% plagiarised from whoever wrote it, because I don't rewrite it, I just read it out.
For that.
So, first story. WWE cancelled Talking Smack and forgot to tell its hosts. So, it's one thing to find out your show is cancelled, it's another to find out from a tweet. But that's what happened to WWE Talking Smack host Renee Young and Daniel Bryan, who learned Friday on social media that their 20-minute studio talk show that aired Tuesday nights following SmackDown Live would be no more. On Friday, the WWE confirmed the news, first reported by PW Insider, that the weekly series was canned, explaining that the previous Tuesday's episode was the last. Instead, the network plans to air the program following special pay-per-view events. And this is what they said. We continuously review WWE Network's programming lineup based on a variety of factors, including viewership and subscriber research. They said in a statement that PW Insider reported. Fans were outraged on Twitter Friday. Fans were outraged on Twitter Friday, though their reactions were not nearly as surprising as Young and Bryan's. That's one way to get the news, Young wrote, responding to a fan who tweeted his disappointment. She then retweeted a gif of herself from the show throwing a box of cookies behind her back. Don't know what that means. Bryan appeared a little more angry. So he said, I came online to support hashtag Sammy for Syria and find this out, he wrote, again responding to a fan who tweeted him the news. I'm the GM, nobody tells me anything. Their frustration was met with support from WWE personalities too, including Real World Back to New York alum Mike the Miz. It's like, why do they need to go into that detail?
I was like, who the fuck is that?
Me too.
Oh, the Miz, right, yeah. Okay.
He said, RIP, hashtag talking smack. I enjoyed the freedom this show gave WWE talent to showcase what they could do. Renee Young brought the best out of all. Young later thanked Miz on Twitter, later telling fans, really disappointed about talking smack. We tried to make that show great. Guess I'll go back to welcoming my guest at this time. Talking Smack's cancellation comes amid changes for the network, which recently removed pyrotechnics from its shows.
Yeah.
They didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
It also comes months after the WWE canned a similar program called Raw Talk, which aired Monday nights on the network after the three-hour WWE live show. Once Bryan's appearances became less frequent, the show began to suffer. Adding the fact that the show was bumped until 11 p.m. to make way for 205 Live, and Talking Smack was always swimming upstream in the battle for viewership. So,
it's not a viewership thing.
It's weird.
Anybody who thinks it's a viewership thing is out of their mind. Because it shows, the reaction shows that the viewers were there. I'll tell you exactly what it is, but just a segue. The pyrotechnics thing is a cost-saving thing.
Oh, right, okay.
So they've stopped doing pyrotechnics at shows because they basically want to save the money. And some fan, like Road Dog, got into it with some fan who was like going mental, like, how dare you stop this? This is an integral part of the show. And he was like, Christ, it's 2017. This is his response. If you think pyro is an integral part of a WWE show, you need to find yourself a new show. Because it's not. It is a bit disappointing because the pyro is what, you know, it's everything that goes into it. It's, but they don't need pyro.
No.
Just as they didn't need different sets. Because, like, this is that was what the guy was saying. He was saying how disgusting it was. He was like, first, they make every set uniform. And there isn't any pay-per-view different sets anymore, and now this. He's like, well, it costs a fuckload of money to do all that, and they don't need to do that. So I understand that. Now, for the Talking Smack and Raw Talk, anybody who thinks it's viewers-based are out of their mind. Because the reason why it's been cancelled is because Vinny can't control what they say. That's 100% why. Like, there's no other argument. They can come out all they want and say they look at viewership, and the backlash shows that the viewership was there. Because I put the odd Talking Smack on.
Yeah.
And was like, when it was on the network, I was like, oh, you know, or Kevin Owens on Talking Smack, right, I'll watch that because he's usually hilarious on it. So anybody who thinks it's viewers led is out of their mind.
Yeah.
It's purely because he can't control the message. So, like, the whole reason why The Miz got a load of traction was because of Talking Smack. And not saying that that was something that they didn't want. They did want that. But it was around the time of them leading up to WrestleMania, and they did not want The Miz to be cheered. But then The Miz started getting cheered after that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, fuck. And rather than say no, the reason why The Miz were getting cheered at WrestleMania was because he was against John Cena in a heinous proposal based segment, which I'm sure they're dead happy with, because it got loads of press. But they'll say, right, the reason why The Miz was cheered during that is because we let him say what he wanted on Talking Smack. 100% that's what I think. Like, I've not seen that anywhere, and I'm sure a few people will have a different opinion, but that's what I think. I think they wanted The Miz to go into WrestleMania and get universally booed, and they gave him more scope from the Talking Smack thing to do the Bella bullshit stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, now people think that's funny as well now. So that's what it, that's all it is, because Vince doesn't even go to shows apparently anymore.
Right,
like,
really?
Most of the shows, he's not even there. Like, I saw a report saying that he's hardly in Gorilla for Raw and SmackDown anymore. And it's just like Michael PSA is like running the show.
Yeah.
So there's loads of things. I've seen a few people say, like, the wrestlers were annoyed to have to do it because they want to just get out of there.
Yeah.
Like, after their segment, say if, like, somebody's in the opening segment of Raw or SmackDown and they have to stay around for Raw Talk or Talking Smack.
Yeah.
They can't just get in a car and start driving to the next place. So I saw a few things like that, but like The Miz was dead angry about it because he knew what kind of platform it was. I personally think it's all smoke and mirrors about it not getting any viewers, and it's just purely a we can't control the message because they get on here and say whatever they want. And there's been loads of awkward situations, especially with the female wrestlers, where they've not had a script in front of them, and they're like, I've had a load of fun tonight, and they don't know what to say because they're so heavily scripted, and that's not a scripted thing. So it shows who's good at their job and who's not.
Yeah, and the ones who are good at the job are the ones who are going to miss it the most because they can use it. You know, in The Miz, you could say that Talking Smack made The Miz, like, last year, was it last year he had his big huge meltdown, because that really, I think, like, elevated him to a really amazing position, when it made me start liking The Miz just purely from that massive rant he went on and all the, you know, shit with Daniel Bryan, like, following that. And it was just interesting, it was just a bit more interesting. It gained, you know, it helped me see his character, for, you know, understand his character a bit more, and I think that's what it should allow him to do. And if they'd have been clever about it, you know, they could have, I know it's a bit of a shit show doing it this way, but they could have had it a little bit more scripted, or not scripted it, but just say, all right, you need to go on Talking Smack, we're not going to script you, but the message is this,
yeah,
so just go on with that as your message, and just Renee, help her out. Do you know what I mean? Like, because Renee Young's fully capable of leading a conversation.
Yeah.
So, I'm a bit sad. I mean, I didn't, don't get me wrong, I didn't watch it. I watched the odd time, but I liked that it was there.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was a good idea for them to be able to. I think it's quite tough, though, because I think there's a mad grey area with something like that, where it's not a shoot. So it is kayfabe, but again, it's that unscripted kayfabe. So it's a bit... And then some of them are shooting a bit too much. And I think it's that where the, like, it's like you said, you know, you're right, they can't control the message. It's like, it's kayfabe, but it's not. Some people are taking it quite seriously. Some people are really acting still. And yeah, it's just a bit of a weird no man's land, that.
It is, and it is such a shame. I mean, The Miz might have been a bad example, because I think everything that happened with Miz was very positive.
Yeah.
So I can't, even though they would have wanted him to be booed for Cena, I can't see him actually thinking that. But there's people like Sasha Banks who have gone off on Alexa Bliss on it.
Yeah.
And all stuff like that. Yeah, and it's like, oh, well, that's actually now only coming up that's a serious thing, that they all hate her. But yeah, I think I reckon they've cancelled it because they can't get the message out, and 80% of the people that go on there are shit.
Yeah, I think,
like,
you're right.
Not everyone can be The Miz, and that's probably what they've said to The Miz: not everyone can go on and be you.
Yeah,
and have this amazing thing with Daniel Bryan, and then, yep,
that's it. Right, well, I'm reading this out. Get that vape pen.
Where is it?
It's right there at the end of my finger. Okay, so this is quite short and sweet, actually, but I don't know whether Andy wants to add anything to it. But the Mae Young Classic full lineup was revealed, so WWE formally announced the 32-woman field for the Mae Young Classic, which will air on the WWE Network beginning August 28th. The company showcased each one of the competitors in a parade of champions at Full Sail University. I'm not going to name them all because, Jesus, we'll be here all night. But I watched that. I thought it was great. I really liked it. I thought everyone had good showing. I thought some were at home in front of that camera. I think some were fucking terrified. Yeah. And some were really overwhelmed. It was quite nice to see that mix. And, you know, for me, it was really good to see Kaylee Ray and Piper Niven or whatever she's called.
Viper slash Piper.
So I was really chuffed to see those two. And Kaylee Ray's been there before, so she looks right at home. Viper looks a little bit, what the fuck is happening? But I was saying to you, my big takeaway from it is that I'm so used to seeing female stars developing over time. So coming in, say like, you know, I know we keep throwing her in, but Alexa Bliss, you know, she comes in and it takes a bit of time. Your Eva Marie's, who it never really worked, but it started to get steadily a little bit better. Yeah. I'm used to seeing, like, especially the female stars coming in and not being wrestlers and not being that good and getting a lot better. So to see all these women who a lot of them I'm not familiar with come in and just look great and look at home, and I know they can pretty much all wrestle, is very refreshing, because I'm not used to that. I'm only used to that from the likes of the Four Horsewomen, hence why they did so well. You know, they'd be able to come in and, you know, even Bayley, though, I mean, Christ, the early shit with Bayley, her old character, you know, when she was Davina Rose when she first got there.
Yeah. I mean, Davina Rose. That's an old NXT to drag up.
Oh yeah.
Like, that would be amazing to see that. Was she ever on TV with that? Davina Rose. She must have been.
I think so, but I'm not sure we saw it, but it'll be on the network. She definitely was on TV, I think, as Davina. Well, definitely, I think. That's a bit contradictory. But I mean, even Sasha Banks, you know, before she was the boss, and she, you know, she just came out. I don't know whether, I think she was still called Sasha Banks. I'm not sure, but it'd just be really, really, really interesting to see them. But, you know, even they weren't that polished because they were quite new in their wrestling careers, really, even though they've done a few indies. But some of these women are, like, polished. They've got their character down. They know what they're doing, and that's great. And to see so many of them in one place is great. So I know that there are spoilers. I know we know the spoilers for the final. And whether that's disappointing or not, whatever, I am looking forward to watching it. I'm really excited to see it. I think it's a bit weird it's airing so late.
Right.
What day is it airing?
It's like the 28th of August.
So the same night as McGregor Mayweather. That's good timing, isn't it? Same night.
How much do I want to go on this?
Is that the same night, or are they on the 26th?
I think they're 26th. It's a Saturday. It's 28th of Monday. I'm pretty sure it's a Monday, so it might be the weekend after.
Yes, the Monday.
Let's go for positives first, shall we? I think the branding is fantastic.
Mm.
I would buy one of those shirts.
Like a very good Mae Young Classic shirt. I wanted one.
If they sort that out, I'm sure they will. I loved the parade the same way as they did with the Cruiserweights. Mm-hmm. I've seen a few people tweeting about the fucking parade, saying it's like you know what I'm gonna say, don't you? Saying like parading women in the ring. What are they doing? It's like they did this for the Cruiserweights as well.
What do they want them to do? Wear like fucking burkas or something until they get in the ring, and then we'll know if they can wrestle.
And then they can get the tits out.
Listen, that's the way.
You're on Twickets as well.
I am. I've got my Twickets page open on my.
Just in case. But yeah, I mean, I've seen some fucking like proper staunch feminists saying about parading them in front of the WWE
they
universe.
Do that with everything.
Yeah, it's the same as the Cruiserweight. It's like, I'm sure they were fucking clapping and hollering during the Cruiserweight. Like, it's ridiculous. Now, for anybody, I'm not going to spoil anything. So don't worry if you've managed to see. The problem is I couldn't fucking stay away. I could not stay away.
You mean like you yourself couldn't stay away? You wanted to know. It's not like it got spoiled for you.
No, it didn't get spoiled for me. Everybody's been awesome on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Nobody's like said, "Oh, what do you think of the Mae Young Classic?" Because this happens. But I physically couldn't stay away because I've got a vested interest in this. So obviously, Kaylee Ray is a massive vested interest.
Yep.
Piper Nixon or whatever
Niven
the fuck.
Or whatever. Niven. I think it's
Viper.
Nixon. I don't know.
The whole why couldn't she be called Viper? Like, I know of the Randy Orton thing, but fucking hell.
Or why couldn't she have just been Piper?
Yeah.
Instead of giving her a weird Piper fucking surname. Yeah, like, why couldn't she have just been Piper? She's just Viper, and that's good enough.
I know.
So everybody
else gets to keep their own name, apart from the main star, who is the Japanese lady. Who had to change her name? Like, I don't get why.
Well, that suggests to me that they might get signed if WWE have given them a name. That suggests that being signed because you get
me too, though.
You get a new persona, don't you? Because they want to make
I understand that, but they don't need to. These people can make money off their own name. They have been doing for a while.
Of course, but they have to be very. I think they've got to be. Very like Samoa Joe is very, very clear about that.
Yeah.
But these people won't, you know, when I say these people, I mean most people who come to WWE won't stand their ground on that.
No.
There'll be a load of legal people, they'll just get given a fucking sheet of paper like Paige did in that documentary where she's talking to her family going, "I'm Paige now." And it's like you just get given a sheet of paper and it's here's your character. Oh, I'm into skating and I'm a geek and I like comic books.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the and that's quite hard to argue against. Like, who do you go to? And then what grounds have you got?
Yeah.
You know, they're giving you a shot. So I think it's quite tough for someone who's fairly new. Whereas Joe is like, you're going to call me what now? I'm Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joey. And you're a chef. That was hilarious.
Samoa Joey.
This guy looks like a dancer. So obviously Tony Storm is currently the Progress Women's Champion. I thought Toni Storm came across like a bit shit with the top hat and like obviously like I've not seen her wear the top hat before, but that's obviously a thing. I can't remember whether she wore the top hat or not when I was watching Super Strong Style 16 and the last one.
I don't know.
I think she did. I think she came out in the top hat, but she didn't seem very comfortable.
Mm.
So I thought that was a shame. I thought Gargano's wife was hilarious. Just getting in there, like doing a bit of a Bailey cute character.
Yeah.
That was really good.
She's very well liked as well. Like, there's pictures on Instagram with her with like Bailey and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think she's very well liked internally.
Yeah.
And I'd be very surprised if she didn't get signed. Because he's there and they quite like that, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Now, it's weird because if what happened would to go down a couple of years ago, I'm sure we'd all be up in arms and going, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to female wrestling. Now, it's been put on for one person for me, and I don't like it. Again, it's another, you can't have a women's tournament, so we have to bring in somebody else. And I'm not going to say what it is, but I think it's a joke. Now, I've not seen any of the matches.
Mm-hmm.
So if the matches are fantastic, then, and I know person in question has been wrestling for a while because her other career wasn't going so well. But from everything that I've seen and people talking about it, it's a bit of a shit show.
Right.
And it's such a shame. Again, it's another thing of, like, and hopefully I'm wrong, and hopefully the final is going to be a fucking barn burner, but from all intents and purposes, it's not going to be a barn burner.
Mm.
It's going to be some stock shit female match, and they're not going to be able to pull it out of the bag because you needed to. The final needed to be Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate, or that level. Like,
yeah.
Do you know, like those people that have been doing it for ages. And from what I've read, it's not going to be that, and it's a massive shame. But you know, they obviously felt like they needed to pull in extra people to jizz it up a bit. But they obviously felt like they needed to do that rather than just giving 32 indie female wrestlers a chance. So that's a bit disappointing. But from from what I've read in the reports, some of the matches are fantastic.
Mm.
Like the crowd are going crazy, and so I can't wait to watch it. I think they're sowing the seeds for something that I don't want to see happen.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think you're right.
And anybody who knows the spoilers will know what I'm talking about, because there's a specific moment in it that alludes to something else.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a fan of at all. But
whatever.
Hey ho, that might be awesome as well, but I doubt it.
We'll see. We will see. Okay, so next news story is UFC Cyborg threatens Becky Lynch. So basically, I don't know if I can be asked reading this whole thing because it's quite lengthy.
Yeah, just
so Cyborg tweeted at Triple H telling him not to let Becky Lynch near her. She also commented on how Island Cat handled another star losing this summer. Becky Lynch commented back in expert fashion how Cyborg needs to be sure Dana White would let her. After all, it doesn't seem like he lets her do much anymore. So I think that's because Becky Lynch knows her.
See, this is interesting, because I my initial reaction to it is, what the fuck is she doing?
Mm.
I was like, what is she doing? Like, so from one hand, you can say it's like a publicity stunt type thing to get her on, because obviously she's fighting 214 with Jones and Cormier headlining. So that would be a bit of exposure for the pay-per-view. I'm sure UFC would love that. But then when you said, oh, she probably knows her because her
boyfriend's, you know, does the UFC stuff.
Yeah, so if she does know her, it's genius. It's a masterstroke. It's a way of elevating Becky Lynch to where she needs to be. If she doesn't know her, it's so weird.
I think Becky Lynch, and I'm not just saying this because I really like her, I think she's giving her own profile a damn good go. Like trying to get an Ellsworth fight going. I think she's trying. Because, you know, she, by all intents and purposes, she's been the one sort of cast aside a little bit. And I think probably the only thing for her in her head that's like been, oh, thank God, is the fact that Charlotte's come to SmackDown and she's gone, great, I'm not on my own now.
Yeah.
Because she was, you know, the other three were on Raw and she got put on SmackDown, where it's, you know, I know Natalia's great, but she is your next best person. And Natalia is a fantastic wrestler, but story-wise and character-wise, it's shit. It's been shit for Natalia for so long.
Yeah.
And that's because of the Total Divas thing, the cat shit. You know, it's just a fucking nightmare.
But it's a shit show.
It is a shit show. So I think Becky Lynch is trying to cultivate her own brand with stuff like this. And I think she's trying to, you know, do the whole pop culture and keep herself relevant and keep herself in the conversation. And she's obviously not, you know, she's not bothered and she's not backward about coming forward, but I think the Cyborg thing is planned. I think they knew what they were doing with that. Yeah,
I hope so, because if it is, like, props to Cyborg as well, because she's gone, like, forgive this analogy, but she's gone balls deep with it. Like, she's really gone for it and, like, keeps tweeting Triple H, and I was like, geez. And then there was that picture of her spanking, like, with Becky over her knee. I was like, Jesus. And then Ellsworth got involved as well and went, she don't want anything of you or me. And I was like, wow, this could be like...
It's great. It
could be
great.
A pay-per-view match. Ellsworth versus Becky Lynch could be a pay-per-view match.
Yeah. I think you've got... I think if WWE signed... I think they'd love to sign Cyborg. I think the problem is that she's juiced up to her fucking eyeballs, or she was. But, well, then again, WWE don't really give a shit about that.
No, they
in
don't.
A way, she gets to stay juiced if she goes to WWE. She... It would be... I think if they had Cyborg on SmackDown, say, and you've got Nia Jax on Raw, you've kind of got your big guy on both.
Yeah, yeah.
And eventually they can come together and have, you know, like a fucking giantess match.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like, you actually feel like this is someone who could beat Nia, whereas now you're like, who the fuck is beating Nia Jax?
Yeah, yeah.
You know she gets beat.
Yeah.
But when they really push her, who's going to beat her?
Yeah,
they're just
yeah.
not pushing her at the moment. No. So I think Cyborg could step into WWE.
Yeah.
And I think they'd like her. I think Triple H would like her. I think Vince would like her. I just think she's a frightening fucking woman.
She is. See, I don't think they'd go as far as to sign her. I think it'd be like a Raw guest spot.
Like a moment.
Where she'll, or like a SmackDown guest spot, where before the fight, like in the next couple of weeks, I think 2:14's upon us. In the next couple of weeks, they just get her to do a guest spot, and she comes out and says she's going to beat whoever the replacement is now. Because fights get changed so frequently, like I can't even keep up with who she's fighting anymore.
No.
Because the person, Jermaine de Randamied, refused to fight her, so they stripped her of the belt, and it's like, she can't, because she's legit scary.
Mm.
It's like all these people are running scared, and with great, because the thing is, what I thought about, like Becky Lynch, like, you know, mouthing off at her, and like, oh, well, maybe she feels all right because she's got an MMA boyfriend. Cyborg would kill her boyfriend.
She would.
She would kill him.
Mm.
And he's struggling with his own fights at the moment.
Yeah, but he didn't do very well, did he, when we saw him?
No. But, like, she would destroy him. She would destroy, like, so she's going for the 145-pound belt. I think she would give Connor a decent fight.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. She's like...
Stick her in there with Aldo.
Yeah.
She's knocking him out. She's knocking him out.
Every so often, someone comes along like that who you go... Oh, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck. And she is definitely that person. I'm going to move on to the next news story, which is our favourite couple in wrestling. Alberto Del Rio and Paige continue Hall of Fame careers in controversy. That's someone else's headline, but I like it. While their wrestling careers are destined to be studies in underachievement, Alberto El Patron and Paige continue to kill it in scandals outside of the ring. In the latest bit of drama from the radioactive couple, El Patron was detained at Orlando International Airport after an alleged domestic abuse stemming from an argument with Paige, who is still under contract with WWE. A witness told TMZ the two were embroiled in a heated argument which reportedly included competing allegations of cocaine use, per Chris Butcher of Heavy.com. In light of yet another scandal featuring El Patron, it's unfathomable how this man continues to receive elusive opportunities with pro wrestling companies. At 40 years of age, El Patron has proven to be fool's gold during two different stints in WWE, where he quickly flamed out each WWE stint, blah, 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 blah. We don't need to hear about this person's opinion on why he keeps getting opportunities. I haven't got Paige's response that she had on social media, but she issued a response saying, he didn't hit me, basically I started this, so it's ridiculous, he got arrested, yada yada yada. Another day, another scandal for our favourite wrestling couple.
God, it's just pure mental. So they split up, and then both sides, like his family and her family, were like great. Then they get back together, and now her brother's been saying, "Oh, the thing is they're all contradicting each other." So the brother went on like Facebook and said, "Yeah, we've like doing that Facebook thing of screaming at one person but not naming them."
Oh, right, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, we know you've been doing this. Like, oh, my
Jesus
God.
Jesus Christ.
Because apparently he's had picture evidence. He's got picture evidence for the last 6 months that he's been hitting her and shit. And it's just crazy. Like, they both need to just walk away. Because she's never going to go back to WWE while they're together, because he won't let her do it.
Mm-mm.
And the fact that he said, oh, I hope your uncle dies or some shit. It's just, like, mental.
Oh, he said that?
That's apparently why they started scrapping in the airport.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, she was upset because she got a phone call to say that her uncle's not very well. And he was like, I hope he dies.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? They are a mess. Like, it's just unbelievable that it's still going on. And that they're still... Because, I mean, last week we were talking about the fact that she was in the audience... at TNA. I mean, he's been suspended now, right, off the back of this arrest.
He has, but she's come out and said that it was her, not him, so he can be unsuspended. And I've not heard anything from TNA.
I don't think it
from
works
that
way. I don't think it works like that.
Or
because,
Anthem or whatever it is.
Because I think the same, you know, on a much lesser scale, the same thing happened with, what's his face?
Adam Rose,
you know, that his missus came out and said, well, we had a fight, this isn't, you know, it's not fair, he shouldn't, you know, I regret this and all this shit. So it doesn't make any difference. They can't go back on a suspension because his girlfriend's chirped up and said it's my fault.
Yeah.
He's been arrested.
Yeah,
It's black and white. It's again, and I know I sound like a stuck record, it's desperately sad. I just think that I'm not like, you know, I know last week I was going on saying, oh, I feel like she should come back. And I do. I do think that it's a waste. But there's so many things that have happened now where I'm like, you're not, you are young, but you're not that young.
Yeah.
You know, you must realise how this has harmed your career inexplicably. Like, it's completely destroyed it. And you must be aware that every time something like this happens, you're in an airport, for goodness sake.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in an airport. You know, if you're going to have a big explosive argument, you know, at least have the good grace to know that people will be watching you in an airport, which then, you know, I mean, God knows if it's true, but the, you know, people alluding to cocaine use, it makes a lot of sense because they're completely on a different, they're in their own little fucking cocaine bubble, aren't they? Like, they're not bothered who's hearing them. They just don't give a fuck. So, I don't know. I just think it's just fucking tragic.
It is tragic. And the thing is like, he'll do well because he's got a restaurant. He's got stakes in a Mexican MMA company. You know, he's the whatever he is, the Global Force Wrestling champion, TNA champion, whatever the fuck it is now. So he'll be fine, but she's got nothing. The only thing that she's got is him at the moment. She's probably not getting paid that much from WWE because her guaranteed salary, if it's still going in, because she's not been there for so long.
I know.
So what'll happen is she'll stay with him, and WWE will release her. TNA will sign her, and she'll have a very mediocre career.
Yeah,
where she'll do a few indie shows with Del Rio. Because it screams to me that he's like, because the brother said like the guy's a control freak and won't let her out of her sight, out of his sight. So that's what it seems to me. It's like she will not be able to move around without him knowing where she is.
So sad.
So it sounds horrific. And we know Del Rio's a nutcase. Because only a nutcase would post videos of him challenging Triple H to a fight in his restaurant. Like, in his restaurant. Like, not even like... So, that's how much of a nutcase this guy is. So, he's got people in the restaurant eating, and he will happily fight Triple H in there.
Yeah.
Or Xavier.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's fucking mad.
He's off his head. He's completely off his head. He's having a proper crisis. And she's being dragged along for it. And I'm not saying she's like a saint, because she's not. Because we've all seen how she's not a saint and doesn't give a fuck. But she's fucking young. She's still dead young. Like,
I just worry about her like having a kid or something with him. I think that'll be the next thing you hear. She's pregnant.
Maybe.
And then she's fucked.
Then she's fucked, yeah.
She's utterly fucked then.
Yeah, there's still a way out of it if she wants to leave him. But I don't think she wants to leave him. I think she loves the drama. I think she loves the drama, and some people do. Some people love a bit of drama. And when you get to that stage where you're a popular figure and you've got fans and things like that, like, they probably do these sort of things subconsciously to get some drama because it's dead easy. Like, you know, somebody like, say, Jericho, his life is dead easy. Like, it's not easy. I'm not saying, like, what he does is easy, but, like, he's got his band, he's got his wrestling, and he does his podcast. And it's rinse and repeat. It's an easy but fun existence for him. Wouldn't be easy for me. Wouldn't be easy for you. Wouldn't be easy for anyone listening because, you know, bands and wrestling, they'll take their toll on him. But he's carved that out for him. Whereas most people in those, like, they have to get things in place. Like Foley, stand up. He goes off and does his stand up when he needs to fucking do something creative or get out. Like, Austin's got his show and he's got his ranch that he works on.
And his beer and all that shit.
Yeah, and he's like, got all these... And the fact that he's the biggest selling t-shirt guy on Pro Wrestling Tees, even with the fucking Bullet Club, you know, there. It is mental. It's absolutely mental. But you have to do something. You have to do other things. Shawn Michaels trying films. You know, you have to do things. When you're at that level of celebrity, you have to try, because otherwise they'll just sit in their houses, go insane, drink shitloads because they're not getting that pop from the crowd anymore. And I can see how these people spiral. I really can.
Oh yeah, it's Absolutely. It's crazy, 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 crazy existence. And if you get two people together who are, you know, mental, then yeah. it's just it implodes. And if she was at the end of her career, you know, she was the age of one of the Bellas, you'd be like, well, you know, she was nearly done anyway. But she wasn't. Yeah. She wasn't even getting there. You know, she wasn't even getting to like the prime of her career. And that's the sad part of it.
Yeah, it is.
That's the real sad part of it. And the fact that she would have 100% come back from all that, like that porn shit, you know, she would have come back from that.
Yeah.
If she would have just kept herself, you know, low-key, under the radar, particularly with the Rock movie that he's doing. You know, like, she had it all. She had it all again. This is somebody who has run out of the 9 lives that she's been given. And she got given them all. She got given so many lifelines to bring back her career. Yeah. And being the age she is. Being the age she is, she could have disappeared and gone on a 2-year holiday. And you know, she could have gone travelling for 2 years and come back and been the biggest thing on the women's fucking roster.
Yeah.
If she would have gone away and kept her nose clean.
But she's that kept her nose clean is probably quite out. but she won't do that because she's young. She's young and she's daft. Like, if I was that age... Like, and you had all this fame thrown at you, and then all these fucking, I mean, you know, I'm not that way inclined, but I was going to say all this chiseled dick, like, being slung at you. Why? My view on that is, why not? Like, just to have, get some experience, have some fun.
Yeah.
But now it's gotten to a stage where she's in, like, a teenage relationship, where, like, it's venomous, and we've all been there, where it's been horrendous. And, you know, she probably thinks now, like, because the amount of, like, guys she's been with, like, because she even said on, like, Total Divas or Bellas or whatever the fuck it's called, that she had a relationship when she wasn't famous that was really abusive. And people search for it. Like, that's a real thing. Like, people who've been in abusive relationships go from abusive to abusive.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, not that they're into, but that's what they know. And it'll only take somebody who's sound to take her out when she was single for her to be normal with it. But I don't know, I think when she hits like 30, if she hasn't sorted it out by then, I think it's going to be a fucking car crash. And it's going to be like China. Like, no. She'll be on drugs and all sorts. Not saying she'll go into porn.
I hope not. Fuck me. But she's had so many offers, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's super sad. I think she's got one life left.
Do you?
Like, I don't think she's quite burnt the bridge yet, because she's not physically done anything. It's him.
Yeah.
So if I think a stipulation from WWE, like, if I was Triple H and Vince, I'd be like, she can only come back when she gets rid of Del Rio.
Yeah.
And not before. And somebody at WWE, if they could be asked, should be on the phone to her saying, look, ring me, or text her, ring me when you're on your own. Like, Triple H, ring me when you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, oh, Del Rio, I'm just going to go out and get some groceries. Bang, on the phone to Triple H, and he's probably looking through a fucking phone and shit. Like, this is how it seems to me.
It's
so batshit.
It's so toxic, and it's just fucking sad. And we said it on a previous podcast that she's not got any support network around her. One, she's physically not got any around her in the US, and even her family are furthering their own name by. They know they make a headline. They know they make one of those rag sheet headlines every time they do a tweet or a Facebook thing, even if it's in goodwill. But it's taken a while for them to, you know, to really get the finger out and defend her and not stay fucking quiet and let her keep getting abused because Del Rio comes to their shows and gets bums on seats.
I think it's hilarious that they've only started defending her now that she's not in the public spotlight.
Yeah, isn't
which
it?
I think is. So now them defending her and saying dump Del Rio furthers their goal, because then she goes back to WWE. Everything just screams she needs some mates, because her family ain't going to do it, because her family were like, because this is the thing that they don't seem to get. So like, her brother coming out on Facebook, and I don't want to talk about this for much longer because it's ridiculous, but The brother's going on Facebook and saying, I've had proof that you've been abusing her for 6 months. So why is it took it 6 months and a nothing story to start talking about it? Now, there's always a good, you know, for point A, he should have been on a plane. Because if not, they're not short on money. You know, the wrestling shows do really well.
That's your, like, as your parents, that's your little girl, that's your little sister, and that's just, surely... That's
somebody
just,
should have been on a plane.
It's just a natural thing you would do. You just get your fucking ass out there and be like, she needs us.
Yeah, and grab her as a family. Let's go for a 2-week holiday in Orlando and let's go and let's grab her and go, you're coming home with me. And if she says no, then I'm not doing that, then there you go.
You've given it a go.
You can't do anything else. But why does it take from 6 months to then the brother put something up on Facebook? It's ridiculous. Because 3 months ago, he was in their fucking promotion.
I know.
Like Wrestling Forum.
I know. It's bullshit.
Everything just points to crazy. So her family's crazy. Her partner's crazy. She's young and off the fucking rails, doing coke and shit and getting into fucking fights with a guy in Vegas and now in an airport. Everything just screams WWE need to go in, pick her up and take her to fucking rehab or something.
I know.
Because if they're coked up in an airport, like, we're not fucking saints. You know what I mean? We're not like, oh, she's doing drugs. She's doing class A drugs. Or, like, an airport is going to be a scary fucking place, because when I'm pissed in an airport, I'm fucking scared. Yeah. That time when we were coming back, and I thought, me and you were talking, what I felt like for hours, like, they're not going to let me on this fucking plane because I'm hammered. And I'm going through the passport checking thing, and I'm like going, hi, you know, like a loser, because I'm fucking pissed out my face.
So funny.
You know. But yeah, they let me on the plane. But that goes through your head. So
it does.
So are they so far gone that they can go into an airport, coke to the foot? And this is all speculation. But this is what, you know, the crazy bitch fan who was following her and going, oh, I'm your fan, even though she's fucking recording them. Like, she was saying, like, they were coked up. Because you can tell if someone's coked up. You know, they don't have to be powder on the nose to know when somebody's coked up. Mm. Like, the fucking eyes are going mental. Like, you can tell. But if WWE cared enough, they would go in and they would pick her up and they would take her off to rehab or whatever and say, Paige is going through fucking rehab without Del Rio. She's cut ties. Here's the extended network for you. Not saying that to us, but saying, Triple H will give her a ring every now and again. Yeah. Stephanie McMahon could just talk to her as a woman and has been around. Because Stephanie McMahon will have seen Paige's scenario a million times.
Yeah, they all will have. They all will have. I think the thing that WWE needs to... I think that there is a slight responsibility on their part because they took her so young and she was on her own over there. And I know she was an adult. I know she was like a grown fucking woman, but still... I think they do have some responsibility towards her, whether they like it or not. She wasn't like a 26-year-old woman when she joined. She was like 18, right? Yeah. When they signed her.
Yeah. If I got signed to WWE when I was 18, fuck knows what I would have done.
But I'd like to think that WWE would care.
Yeah.
Would care about you. You know, if you were having, you know, some crazy fucking time, I'd like to think they care. And I know they're getting a lot of shit from him. So therefore, you know, whether they actually do feel like, and excuse the fact that I'm saying nose, because he used the whole big nose thing, their noses are really pushed out of joint because he's being so disparaging about them.
Yeah.
And they're taking that very personally and they don't like it and they feel embarrassed by it. I don't know, but it's not about him. It's about her. And it's her with whom she's under contract with them. So therefore, she's clearly troubled. So surely they have a little bit of responsibility for her, just a little bit. And we don't know. They might have tried shitloads of stuff. You know, The Rock is doing a movie about her. You know, there is an interest there from a lot of people. So we're speculating massively that nobody's stepping in here. People might have fucking tried. They might have been to see her. They might have had meetings with her. They might have given it a damn good go because she is still under contract. They've not let her go.
No.
And they could have done now.
They've still not released her.
They could have let her go. But, I mean, employment law isn't like it is over here. Over here, you could go, well, you know, she might be able to have them done for fucking, you know, unfair dismissal. over here because she's technically done nothing wrong. They've released her for no reason. But over in America, that doesn't even fucking stand up. So they could get rid of her at any point. So there's something must be going on. Yeah. There must be something, some talk, some plan, some kind of intervention. And you know what? If there is, we'll see it on WW24 documentary when she does a comeback. And there'll be like a Kurt Angle-esque, this was a horrendous time in my life. WWE were there. They supported me through their such and such program.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great publicity, you know, from a really, really cynical point of view. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It works quite well for them. If they manage to take her back and turn it around, it looks good on them. So it does. Imagine they'll be thinking that and they'll be trying that.
Yeah, because WWE don't necessarily promote the fact that they help all these wrestlers. Like, Just Incredible is going through all sorts of fucking hell at the moment, where he's like, he's a proper alcoholic.
Oh, God.
And he's even said, I'm on a plane to Connecticut. Like, they're sorting me out. WWE is sorting me out. And this is somebody who is way past retirement age for WWE. And they do that. That, like, WWE are really good at that. Like, they give help to ex-wrestlers. Mm. Like, anybody who works for them, if they're fucking 60 and they're addicted to pills, WWE get them in. DDP Yoga, like, that camp is funded by... Because, like, in the Jake the Snake documentary, Triple H is on the phone to him going, what the fuck are you doing? What are you playing at? And Triple H is ringing him and all this sort of stuff. And, like, I mean, I know Jake the Snake is a sort of... that is the one that I put there as the example, because, like, he's got vested interest with people like Scott Hall, because Scott Hall's like part of the clique. So obviously he's going to try and help him. But there's been loads of wrestlers that have, like, come out and said, Triple H called me, said, how's everything going? Do you want to go into rehab? We'll pay for your rehab. So that happens all the time.
Yeah.
And we don't even hear about it. The only way that we know that Just Incredible is going into rehab for alcohol is because he did a vlog.
Yeah.
He did a vlog saying, nobody's helping me. Like, nobody's helping me out. Like, I'm out here on my own. I'm just getting pissed every day, and it's a nightmare. And then 2 weeks later, he's on a plane because somebody from WWE has seen it and gone, fucking get him out of that. Get him out of that shit. And that is, like, totally not for publicity, because they could have been putting stories about it on WWE.com and they've not. So they don't do that shit for publicity. They probably do it to try and shut people up and to get them healthy and then get them... Because, like, somebody like Just Incredible could be, like, an official, or they could do anything with somebody like that because he's been in the business so long and an ECW mainstay and all this sort of shit.
Just being an ambassador for the brand. I think that's what they end up doing, these people. You know, they do the talks and stuff that don't get televised, and they will go to schools and all that shit.
Yeah.
And that is, you know... You need brand ambassadors because they are a huge brand. They've got shareholders, so it's all great. It's really good. I just think Paige is, like, what, 25 or something?
She's not even that old, is she?
I don't know. She's
23 or some shit.
I don't know. I'm not sure now. 23? But it's...
God, she's been with them for, like, 7 years.
Well, when we got together and we went to see that show in 2012... I remember you and Ray, I didn't know of her because it was NXT and I wasn't watching it. You and Ray were saying, oh, but Paige is really good, because you were saying, oh, fuck the Bellas. And then Ray was like, oh, Paige. Ray was someone we went to wrestling with. Said, you know, Paige is really good. And you were like, yeah, Paige is good. So that was 2012. So we're talking, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
So that's when she was on NXT. So yeah, so that's probably about right. She's about 25. Something. But they have. I think you're 100% on the nose with this. They've created that monster, so they do have a bit of. It's like, you know, it's like fucking Frankenstein. Mm. Like, he makes a monster and then lets him roam around the village killing everyone.
Yes.
Like, you know, you can't like.
It's so true. It's so true. And I'll always find it sad. And I am not a fucking Paige fan at all.
Me
I'm really
neither.
Not.
Not
I don't
anymore.
Particularly like the girl that much. Whenever I've seen anything I've seen of her, I've not been a big fan. But I think she deserves better than this life she's living. And it's abundantly clear that she can't get herself out of it, and she can't see the wood for the trees herself because she's too in it. So she needs somebody, and her family aren't doing that job. So I know that it's shit giving a responsibility to someone who's like, hang on a minute, why the fuck am I responsible for this bullshit? But someone has to at least care enough to take responsibility. And it's so funny, isn't it, that all these people, when she was on Total Divas, of like, oh, my friend Paige, and they're all hanging out like a big group of mates. Where the fuck are they? And I said this before.
Where the fuck are the Bellas?
Where the fuck are they? Where the fuck are they doing public tweets of support for her?
Yeah.
Nah, they won't touch. They won't touch her. They won't dirty their fucking hands on her. And that's unbelievable. So nobody is publicly helping her, or no one.
It'd only take one of them to, do you want to come and stay with me for a month?
Yeah, come and stay at fucking Cena's house for a month.
Maybe they've texted her. Maybe her family's trying to help. So we're only going off what we're seeing. What's being reported. But I would have thought if somebody had come out on like social media and said, my sister's being abused, you know, the first time I've seen that is the guy saying, I've got 6 months worth of proof. And he could have been behind the scenes trying to, but he's not trying hard enough. And maybe the last throw of the dice is, let's make this public. But it doesn't seem like that's the case to me, because you would be on a plane. Like, if your mum, who lives in America, was like getting abused by her partner, which he would never do because he's an amazing human being. But like, let's say that was happening, me and you would be on a plane.
Yeah, you wouldn't just sit back it happen. You just 100% wouldn't.
Yeah, we'd fucking turn up. We'd be like, where are you? Okay, let's go.
Yeah. Well, it's just a nightmare. But I'm hoping, again, for the fucking, how many weeks have we been doing this fucking show and talking about them two? They've been together for like, 18 months now? I feel like I say it every week. I just hope something positive happens, and I hope that she gets out of it. I hope that she just needs to get a bit of her life back, because she's living his life at the moment, which is just a very typical young person thing to do. That can be males and females when they get in a first big relationship, is they end up living someone else's life, and she's living his life, and she's too young for that shit, and she's too talented, and it's just, it's not on. She's at the top of a game, and she can get back there, but... Yeah, maybe you're right. I think she's got one more chance.
It'll take her to do one more thing. Like, if she comes out and starts endorsing what Del Rio's saying, then it's over.
It's over, yeah.
If she gets arrested for drugs, or gets arrested herself for domestic violence, or whatever it is, if she does one more thing, that's when I think the door fully closes.
Mm.
But, you know, WWE welcomed people back for numerous reasons. They'd welcomed it. If Del Rio was out of work and he stopped talking shit about Triple H, they'd welcome Triple H back. Triple H would welcome him back, because it's a business move.
Again, and we said it before as well, which is the whole social media thing that makes all of the bad things they say about WWE really public now. Whereas, like, Stone Cold will have said so much shit about them. He'll have been heinous. Kurt Angle says himself, I was really awful.
But
because social media wasn't a thing, they'll have said it behind the scenes to people.
Yeah.
And it'll have got back.
Yeah.
They'll have made sure it got back to them. Or they'll have said it, like, in a packed arena when they've been at a small indie show. But we don't hear from beyond that. It's just word of mouth.
Yeah.
And it's... You know, it's not as it's not as direct and there in the public domain, which it is now.
Yeah.
So, like, it's harder for WWE. Isn't it harder for them to forgive them, because they've been doing it for ages, when they've probably heard people say a lot worse about them? But from a public standpoint, everyone goes, "Oh, that's over then."
Yeah.
Whereas WWE are probably thinking, "No, we've heard this before from pretty much everybody who leaves." You know, it happens. It's happened for years, and it'll continue to happen. And they'll always come back, and we'll have them back, because they're humans, and not just humans. They're performers who are insecure, and do you know what I mean? These are a different. These are sensitive people, because you are. If you're a performer, you're automatically a bit more sensitive, because it's a different world, and it's a different life, and you're on show and you're being judged and all that shit. But yeah, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed, it gets sorted. So.
Yep.
From one to another, from one troubled soul to another. So, this story. So, I'm going to just skip to the bit, because they're trying to clickbait, and we all know who it is. So, according to a report in the latest Wrestling Observer newsletter, Enzo Amore has a lot of heat. Details of what happened on the tour bus in which Roman Reigns apparently reportedly kicked Enzo Amore off several weeks ago. He got so many people upset that it led to Reigns kicking him off the talent bus. He was also given the Miz treatment for a while, which means he was not allowed to dress with everyone else in the locker room. The article goes on, and then it says, apparently the tears shed during Enzo's promo, again, before Cass turned on him, were real, because he was said to be legitimately unhappy about the team being broken up. Also, the part of the promo where he talks about his real life is better... then his family life could be seen as something as a shoot because he's not living in Los Angeles and having a great time in his non-wrestling life. Judging by his Instagram page, he seems to be having the time of his life in LA. I don't know what that's very contradictory. Yeah, sorry.
So he is living in LA.
See, he's living in LA meeting with athletes and celebrities like Daniel Cormier, Nick Diaz, Halle Berry, Drake, and others in recent weeks. And there's someone's opinion. But basically, that's a bit of a shit show, that one. But so Enzo Amore gets kicked off a bus. Apparently, there's loads of heat on him backstage, which we've known about for a long time. And they've been really, really, really open about that since day one. Like, whenever, you know, I listened to Big Cass being interviewed on the Jericho podcast, and he was saying, yeah, because, you know, Enzo's not, you know, he's difficult backstage, if you like, you know, in so many words. So I befriended him because he didn't have many friends.
Yeah.
And that's in NXT. And then he's gone to the main roster. These guys have got this amazing shit that couldn't be kept down in NXT anymore. No. But yet you've still got the attitude, obviously some attitude problems or whatever issues he's got, he's brought them with him. And probably then got the diva syndrome with it because he feels like the big man. And it's just not gone over very well and he's upsetting people. And obviously they broke him up. I thought with Enzo that he was a little bit untouchable. I thought he was so good and he was so famous that there was no chance they would consider holding him back, splitting him up, putting him on 205, which is what I said. I just thought there's no fucking way because he's too popular. You look around, everyone's wearing the Enzo headband. They all love him. Whereas now I'm thinking, do you know what? They can do, WWE has the power to make anybody irrelevant they want to. So it doesn't matter. If he's causing enough of a problem, all they need to do is keep him off TV a few weeks and people won't give a shit anymore. Everyone will stop buying the t-shirts, they'll stop wearing the things, they'll move on to the next person. And that's just the way it is. So it's, I find it really sad. I don't know. I mean, what's your take on it?
Well, this sort of thing's been happening forever. I can understand how pissed off he'd be by the splitting him and Cass up. To me, it just doesn't make any sense because I don't think they're going to do anything with Cass.
You don't?
No, I don't think they're going to do anything with Cass for a good 6 months. They'd never won a championship, which I think is stupid. I don't get what this thing is with Enzo and Big Cass. Like, they just don't win championships.
It's crazy, isn't
NXT, it? NXT, they never held the belts, which I thought at the time was fueling the fire, and then they've gone up and they've not even had chances at the belts. They've had like one chance.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, I'm sure that's wrong, but I can only think of one program where they got a chance at the belts. So, because I just don't know, but then you throw a team like Sheamus and Cesaro together who are not even remotely as over.
Nope.
And they're the champions. Like, they could have turned them heel. They could have done anything with them. And you'd have still been raking in that merchandise money. So maybe the whole turning, you know, splitting them up is because of Enzo's antics. Like, maybe that's a reason for it. Again, we don't know anything. All we know is Roman Reigns kicked him off the bus, which is like, you know, 2 weeks ago. So it's only just come out that he got kicked off the bus and he couldn't change them. Like, the same thing happened with The Miz. So I'm just worried for Enzo. I mean, like, Brian, who's B, I think. Bear with me a sec. Let me get his actual Twitter handle.
Is it B is for Awesome?
B underscore is for Awesome, yeah. Something like that. We retweet him a lot, so go and just check our Twitter feed. Said, I smell a future endeavoured, and it's tough. It's a knee-jerk reaction, but it's tough to disagree, because like you said, they can make and break people, and Enzo is massively over to his own for because he's so talented, and they are, him and Big Cass are only there because of Enzo.
It's true. It's damn true.
And Cass has got a shitload of heat as well because he's really publicly for Donald Trump.
Well, that was my last news story and it's basically that. I mean, I don't think there was anything else in the news story that was other than that. So heat on him is particular because of his views. This is Cass on politics, as he's a strong supporter of Donald Trump. And that's a sentiment not shared by many in the locker room. The heat on him is nowhere near the heat on Enzo. And Cass is someone that has the support of management, and his size and look will allow him more chances to break through as a top star.
Yep.
And they're saying it's not going to hurt his push because Linda McMahon's part of the Trump administration. So it's not like Vince is anti-Trump, is it, really?
No, definitely not. So I don't think Cass won't ever get anything back on him because he's too much of a commodity. I mean, you look at Cass and you think WWE champion. We've always said that sort of thing could happen for him. You know, he's great in the ring. He's great on the mic.
Mm.
He's got it all. And with a decent push, he could be your antagonist to the Roman Reigns or whoever it is that they want to put him there with. I do worry for Enzo big time. I really do, because us as fans can't see where he'd fit in, and when we've got people tweeting saying, oh, I could see him on 205 Live, that is not a good solution for Enzo.
No, I can see him on 205 Live, but I think I feel bad saying that because it's a shame, because then that's a bit unfair on 205 guys. But
it's not, though, because Enzo's gone from,
I mean, their merch must have made so much money.
Yeah, there's a reason why he's got a fucking, it looks like a penthouse suite in LA with a pool. And I mean, we know American house prices aren't anywhere near what they are over here, but LA,
I know.
You know, he's gonna have paid a lot of money for that. Mm. And those damn shoes don't come cheap.
No.
And I know, like, he kept promoting Champ Sports, so they probably give him a pair of shoes. But they wouldn't have been giving him a different pair every week.
No.
Like, he's not LeBron James. You know, so he will have had to have shelled out for a lot of those shoes. And
it's crazy. It's just, I don't know. I just find it crazy. And I did think that he was relatively untouchable. Until then, I was like, actually, nobody's untouchable.
No, nobody's.
They will make someone as irrelevant as they need to. And putting him on 205 is a perfect way to phase him out and future endeavour him. Because, I mean, they could take him off at the moment, but I think that whenever Big Cass came on, I think people would chant, "We want Enzo." Not for very long, but I think if they want to eliminate it, put him on 205, 6 months later, get rid of him.
Yeah, and they tried to do it with him getting squashed on the pay-per-view, because he did squash him, so it's one of them. Like, I would love to see him carry on the rivalry. Because the thing is now, is Big Cass is, you know, if them two are not together, because they're still selling Enzo and Big Cass merchandise full price.
Yeah.
So it's not like they do with most tag teams, like after they split up, they cut it all.
Mm.
Still selling it all at full price, which says to me that the rivalry is going to continue a little bit. I would love to see it continue. I'd love to see a rematch where Enzo gets a bit closer to winning.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of roll-ups that are a close situation. Mm. But we've said all the time, Enzo's in-ring ability is nowhere near his mic ability. So the only thing I can see for him that they'll be wanting to do is him being the mouthpiece of somebody.
Yeah, and that was in one of the stories about this. They said, you know, he could quite easily be a manager, but WWE are known for not really wanting to have managers on their payroll and taking them on tour and stuff. You know, it's a wasted spot, because he's not wrestling, and he's just gonna, you know, Paul Heyman's a different beast. Come on. I mean, and you've got, you know, Titus O'Neil's kind of doing it at the moment. He's doing that manager thing, which is fine, you know, and that seems to be, you know, working.
I really enjoy that, you know. I think the Tozawa thing was great.
Yeah, well, Tozawa, anything he's involved in is just gold, isn't he?
The guy's fantastic. So funny. He's so good. But, like, you know, the backstage segment with Cesaro and O'Neill after the pay-per-view, where he was like, get me another shot. You represent me, so get me another shot. The Titus brand, to me, has got legs. And the fact that every now, because he was doing that, and then he was like with, what's his face? Apollo Crews.
Yes.
So he was doing that with him, and then he was like, right, I'm going to show you how it's done. And then Titus got in the ring. Like, that I think has got loads of legs.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll do more with that. But the Enzo as a manager would be great, but he is an in-ring performer. He's not just a mouthpiece. But what are they going to do with him? Like, literally, I can't. I mean, we sit and we talk about wrestling till we're blue in the face of what we would do with certain people. We've got a podcast that we go for hours for each time we do it. I cannot come up with a scenario that I think Enzo could do well in. Because what they're going to do, are they going to drop him down the card and then he gets maybe a couple of wins against like Heath Slater or some shit? My thing is the only thing I keep landing on is they're going to try and put him in another tag team.
Right, okay.
Where they give him somebody who is Big Cass-esque but is lower down the totem pole because they want Cass in that main event picture. Yeah. So it could be somebody from, it doesn't have to be a massive guy. It could just be like Enzo's getting beat down one day and out comes X to save him. Like, maybe, you know, what a run that would be for Big Show for 6 months.
I think Big Show is a perfect fit. Like, I really do. I just think that it just depends on whether or not this heat and whether they just are not sweet on him. Yeah. And I imagine that a lot of allowances got made in NXT for him because of the potential that them two had. But I don't know. It just depends on whether they want to keep him. And it's looking like they don't. You know, he was money with Cass. Like, that did have legs. And it wouldn't have harmed Cass to have a run, you know, a bit later on when them two had really run their course.
Yeah.
Whereas it's so fresh. It's just, you know, it's been 15 months.
Yeah, because they debuted. Because we were saying about how pissy they were on the Raw after Mania when we were there, because people were chanting for Sheamus and Cesaro. Because we were like, oh, well, they don't have the experience because this time last year they were debuting on the main roster against the Dudleys and giving the Dudleys shit. So they literally had been on the road with the main roster for 12 months. It's not enough time.
No.
And I think what they're doing at the moment is they're knocking Enzo down a peg. Because Roman Reigns doing that. I mean, that's, I still think it's great that Roman Reigns goes on the bus with the rest of them.
Yeah, he enjoys it. He says, doesn't he?
Yeah, and doesn't have his own. Because I don't get me wrong, guys. Don't put your keyboards away. I'm not getting sweet on him. But he's definitely a heel now. Anybody who says he ain't a heel after that fucking ambulance shit needs to check himself, because that was a proper heel move. And I love it. Love it, love it, love it. He's my heel. He's my heel.
Yeah.
But, you know, him kicking him off the bus, like, that, I think they're just trying to knock him down a peg. If it was me, the only thing I can see for him is the Big Show thing. And what a run that would be for 6 months with Big Show. Like, Big Show's not been relevant for ages. I know he had that amazing match
with
Braun. And he's done this sort of shit before where he's tagged with Jericho.
Yeah.
And he's tagged, I'm sure he had a thing with The Miz as well, where he was tag team champion with The Miz. Big Show and Enzo versus Sheamus and Cesaro. Because we know the Hardys are broken now. Because Jeff brought his face paint back, which I'm kind of like, Finn Balor's not going to be able to use his face paint if they both do it. But
he's not done the demon for 100 years.
See, that's a podcast in his own for like fucking 3 hours, because I can't believe it. Like, the fact that he's just facing Elias Samson, and they don't know what to fucking do with him. They really don't.
No, it's nuts.
But that is some way disappointing, but it's some way encouraging as well, because it's like, okay, we've got all these main event matches, like your Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins, your Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, your Joe, Brock Lesnar. Shit, we've not got anyone else for Finn. Right, well, let's keep him off the pay-per-view until we've got something significant and have him on Raw winning every week, which is what they've been doing. So that it's kind of okay, but you need that. The great balls of fire, you needed the demon there. If it was just a kickoff match against Elias Samson, because they're coming up with new demon shit. Like, you're selling tons of demon shit.
Yeah, they're not putting that to bed, so it's going to happen.
When was the last time he did that? SummerSlam last year?
There was a story about it saying when we're going to see the demon again, because it's been a really fucking long time.
I know he's been injured, but he's been back for ages. He's been back since the Raw after WrestleMania. And I would have brought the demon back at the Raw after WrestleMania. Because that would have been even bigger. I mean, it was massive because all the crowd were really into it. We want Finn chance. And they need to stop fucking changing the logo of the Balor Club. It's just starting to be fucking stupid now. But yeah, the Enzo thing, A big show would be a great 6 month run.
Zoe and Show.
Zoe Show. And I think Big Show would be completely rejuvenated. Mm. I would say give it to WrestleMania and have him win the belts at WrestleMania or something like that, or go into WrestleMania with the belts.
Yeah.
Because you won't have a bigger, to pardon the pun, you won't have a bigger star. Like if Big Show got with Enzo and it was like a bit at first, or like Raw tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Big Cass is beating him down again. Well, and then he comes out and saves him, and then your next pay-per-view you've got Big Cass against the Big Show, and Enzo comes out with Big Show.
Mm.
That's an easy 6 months, and then decide what you're going to do with him.
Yeah.
But do they want to cut the nose off to spite the face? Is the thing, because if Enzo is as big of a problem as he is, it doesn't matter how much money he's making him, they will cut him, because somebody, like the people who buy Enzo's t-shirt will buy a different t-shirt. That'll be their mentality. Because I've not got any Enzo gear.
No, nor have I. No, because I did want it, but I didn't think it was. It wasn't my cup of tea.
It looks a bit shit. Yeah. But there's so many people that wear the How You Doing t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, the Nerds t-shirt looks okay.
Their merch is, you know, it sells really well. We know that.
Yeah.
We know how well it sells. And they wouldn't have bothered making those fucking headbands with his hair, because that's just like some crazy fucking thing to make, and it's just ridiculous. So, it just shows how over they are. And
definitely. It's the New Age Outlaws again. We said this 2 years ago on this very show. Like, they are money. Get that on the main roster. They'll be like the new Road Dogg and Billy Gunn.
Mm.
And it has been. It's been exactly what we all thought it was going to be. But now it's tough to see what to do with him.
Yeah.
I think Big Show's the way. Because I would love to see Big Show have a meaningful run again.
Mm.
Because he deserves it. Because he's in the fucking shape of his life.
Yeah, no,
he's
absolutely.
He's ripped. Fucking ripped.
And
that
he missed
guy.
Out on his WrestleMania moment with Shaq. So I think if he went into something with Enzo and he went into a Big Cass thing, because like you say, they've not got space for Big Cass anyway right now. Especially as a big guy, you know, the two, that's all tied up, that's sorted with Strowman and Lesnar and Joe, and you know, you've got Reigns, you know, like that's tied up in a pack. You can't add Cass in there.
No.
He ain't there yet. Like he's not, you can't throw him in that picture at all. So he's got to have like a mid-card rivalry with another big guy. So it's got to be Big Show, surely.
Yeah, and it would be money. And like you know, what you Zoe Show t-shirts would sell, you know. A Big Show needs that final run, like he's saying about like last WrestleMania was supposed to be his last WrestleMania, and he got into fucking daft shape for it.
I know,
like he was in master, and then he got eliminated like within seconds.
Mm.
What it felt like seconds. I was like, oh my god, Mojo Rawley's winning.
I know, yeah, terrible, absolutely terrible. I need to share with you the. I think I'd said on a past podcast that I was gonna pick out like a Jerichoism of the week, you know, like something ridiculous he says on his podcast.
Talk is Jericho,
yeah.
Baby.
You know, he likes to put his guests in their place to make them like...
Has he done it again?
He did it again on the Sheamus and Cesaro one. And this was...
I listened to half of this as well.
Particularly good. This was particularly good. So they said, they were talking, they all get on very well, but Jericho needs to assert himself as the alpha male.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, they mentioned something about the WrestleMania match.
I think I heard this. Yeah.
When Jericho said, "Wait, what? This WrestleMania just gone? Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was a tag team ladder match at WrestleMania, and they were like, yeah. And he went, what? Oh wow, who was in that? And they were like, well, us, Enzo, Big Cass, the Hardys came back. And he went, oh yeah, sure, yeah, yeah, okay, that's when the Hardys came back. It's like, Jericho, please tell me no one's buying that you didn't know that.
But he even said, he was like, oh, we have so many matches. I was like, I picked up on that as well. It was a proper cunt move.
It was terrible. Yeah. There's no way you wouldn't remember.
There was a tag team ladder match at WrestleMania. Yeah.
Of course
it was the moment of WrestleMania.
I think they didn't quite know how to respond to it.
No, they were a bit like, are you joking that you didn't know we had that match?
I know, it's so insulting, isn't it? Because it's not like you can say Jericho wouldn't have known because he's not involved in WrestleMania. He was in it, so it's he should know the card.
The thing is, though, like they did what I thought brought it back a little bit was that Cesaro was saying, said something about how Jericho's memory's awful.
Oh, okay.
Like, because they were saying about, oh, do you remember that time when we worked this? And he was like, and Jericho was like, no, I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all. And they did say something about, like, Jericho's memory being, like, awful.
That's hilarious. But I just thought that was sensational.
It was.
When he was just like, I just don't know what that is. But I think everyone should listen to that podcast, incidentally. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. It was one of the better Jericho interviews. Because usually they're quite a bit awkward. They can be a bit awkward. If you don't know who they are, like the Alexa Bliss born, Baron Corbin to a certain extent, although they've got like metal music in common. So
do they?
Well.
Do they?
A love of it, not an ability to do it.
Come on, come on. 4 million views and counting. What the fuck do we know?
What do we know? But that was my podcast moment of the week.
Yeah.
I've not got onto Samoa Joe and Edge and Christian yet.
Samoa Joe's on Edge and Christian?
Yes.
See, I had to drop out of that. I had to drop out of that because they were getting too big for the boots.
Yeah. They've gone back a bit now, though, to be honest.
Have they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think they did find a name for their fans, which was a real twat move. But it's back to how... It seems back to how it was.
Yeah.
Although they did sort of pick apart Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne.
Now that... Did we talk about that last time? Mm-mm. No, because we weren't saying about... We're going to save the mid-year review, I think, for...
Yes.
Like, at some point where we just do that.
And we're going to do that on a Saturday as well, because I want to have a drink. I want to not be thinking about work, which is in a few hours' time.
Yeah,
so, like, I want us to, like, really, really, really just go for that.
Next Saturday
it.
We'll do that, and then we'll do an hour of news on Sunday or some shit.
Well, we're at Progress, hopefully, on Sunday, so...
Oh, God, yeah, the excitement. War Machine versus Mustache Mountain. Please, let there be tickets.
We'll get tickets. I believe.
Carl quite graciously said he'll ask around as well, just to see if we struggle.
Oh, bless
him. He's a very good human being.
I can't.
Do you know what I'm most looking forward to about Chapter 52?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Is it seeing everybody?
Going for a drink with people
beforehand. Yeah, me too. I'm really excited.
Because like Lee Price is going. I'm pretty sure Horrocks is going. And just all get in a pub beforehand. And just
have these people been with us listening to our show from day one? Because if Jamie comes, it's like...
They'll know
Jamie.
They'll know
Jamie is.
Yeah.
Jamie, who used to be on our show, if anybody was around for the early days, we were three of us who did the show, and we're hoping Jamie will come with us to Progress.
Change his life.
Yeah,
change
so that'd be fun.
The thing with so Carl was literally like follower 73.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if he listens that much. I wouldn't blame him if he didn't.
No.
But the now we're nearly 6,000. So that shows you that like he's been following us since day
that's
one.
Amazing.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's what I'm most looking forward to. Now.
Me too.
Now.
Yes.
Now.
Yes, yes, yes.
So quick, we'll rifle through this topic, 10 minutes. I just thought it was a very, very interesting thing. So we got a tweet from Mark Buckley, who on Twitter is at badlymadeboy.
Great handle.
It's a fantastic handle. There's some brilliant handles. Some great handles that
yeah,
we get.
Yeah, like, I know. I'm like, jealous. Mine's like so boring. It's like, and the silver RTM.
Yeah, it is. Mine's exactly the same.
Oh, by the way, did you see the tweet from Chris? I think Chris guessed my name, didn't he? I think Chris in a roundabout way. I could be wrong.
Did we not say it when we were having a drink with him, though?
No, I don't think so. I think no. I fully am in character. I don't mean to be, honestly. It's just a lot easier. Do you know what the funny thing is? Okay, so... My name is Gemma. It's not too different. My real name's Gemma. It's a long story with the Emma thing. But anyway, I have an alternative name. And it's because I wrote some books and I set my Facebook up in my author name and I just couldn't be arsed keeping two Facebook profiles. So I deleted the Gemma one because I had more people on the Emma one. So I became Emma Silver. Anyway... The reason why I just go with Emma all the time is because even when sometimes I meet like family members and stuff and old friends, and when we met up with somebody recently and they'd had a couple of drinks, they know me as Gemma. They introduced me as Emma and I had to correct them. And I was like, no, it's Gemma. And then it's just this weird confusion and people don't get it. Yada, yada, yada.
It's just dropping the G, darling.
But it is. But what I'm saying is that, you know, I'm not pretending to be someone else when
not.
I say I'm Emma. Like it's I'm just used to it now.
Anyway,
anywho,
so,
sorry.
Tweet from at badly made boy. So I was, I can't remember what I was doing. I think I was having a bit of a whinge about AJ Styles winning the United States Championship at a house show. Now, mm-hmm. It was Madison Square Garden. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, we discussed it, didn't we?
Yeah, so
week?
Having yep. a bit of a whinge. Now, he came back and said something that you were probably all thinking at the time, which I thought was incredibly interesting, that the reason why they had a title change for the United States Championship is that when people Google United States Champion, they don't see Kenny Omega.
It was like new United States champion because usually yeah. you get it at yeah. the same time.
Pretty much, yeah. There. So they did. So New Japan did the America show uh-huh. where they crowned a new United States champion. Now they did a photo shoot as well, which was very interesting. Recently, where they had New Japan stars mm-hmm. all together and took a picture and all that stuff. The United States champion Kenny Omega was front and center.
Right.
Now you've got Okada, or however you pronounce it, who is their champion in the background. Oof. Which I thought was very interesting.
It is.
So Mark basically tweeted saying, the reason why they've done this is so that people don't Google his name. Google new United States champion and see Kenny Omega. Which I think is 100% what they've done. Now, from that, me and Mark started tweeting back and forth, saying, well, is... Because Great Balls of Fire... Let's agree, everybody. It was a fucking mint.
It was great, yeah. I was yeah. pleasantly surprised.
Great, yeah, it was the best show they've done for a long time. Mm-hmm. I can't remember a better overall WWE pay-per-view than that.
I agree.
And maybe it was better because we're not really watching Raw and SmackDown. We're just keeping up with the highlights and then watching the major shows. Maybe it was better from that way and we didn't see all the... We've not seen everything before we get to the pay-per-view. So, then I was thinking, right, so from that, WWE has gotten better. Because the Raw after Great Balls of Fire was very good. And the SmackDown after Great Balls of Fire was very good as well. So, and this is very, very out there. And I was thinking, has the New Japan presence in America lit a bit of a fire up them? Because I'm telling you right now, so this is a company. So, this is not Anthem. So mm-hmm. Anthem are 300 people in a fucking film studio in Orlando every week. Now, Jarrett has come out and said that he wants to tour. So he wants to go and do pay-per-views somewhere else. He wants to fill arenas. Of course he wants to fill arenas. Yeah. Like that's and he can fill arenas with the product that he's got. Definitely. So now, New Japan has got hundreds of thousands, if not millions of fans in Japan. Mm-hmm. They have probably the same amount of people in America. Their New Japan World is extremely cheap, and I'm embarrassed that I don't subscribe to it. But there's a lot of reasons why. Like, I've subscribed to about four different fucking wrestling things at the moment. I can't watch everything. ICW we've not watched for a bit because we've had Progress to watch. Yeah. And it gets a bit much. Like, you need to have, your full-time job needs to be watching wrestling if you want to watch everything. ROH have just had big pay-per-view. You know, it gets too much. Now, if New Japan decide to start running American shows a lot, which it seems like they're gonna, because of the press conference, because of the photo shoot, because of how well that went over. So it was a very ROH feel show to me. So I unfortunately have still only seen day one because I couldn't get hold of day two, and now something else has took me off.
Yeah. Like
Dark Souls 3 has taken over my life. Amazing game. Now, I think New Japan is a legit threat to WWE, and not in a case of taking WWE fans, because we've spoken length about WWE fans and who WWE wants to aim their product at. So it is very child friendly. Mm-hmm. Now, New Japan are on the horizon, like literally on the horizon. Mm-hmm. So it's like Monty Python, Holy Grail. Fucking Lancelot's running miles away and then suddenly he's next to him. Like, that's probably one of the greatest films ever. And I like to... this is my second Holy Grail reference with wrestling in 2 weeks. But thanks for retweeting that if you did. It was more over than we are. But the... So This is my theory on it. So mm-hmm. my theory is they've seen them coming on the horizon, literally, and they've gone, fuck. And they've all not shat the bed, but they've gone, okay, if New Japan get a TV deal, what they will be showing is ROH-style wrestling.
Mm.
Now, because New Japan's got, I think, New Japan's got a bigger name than ROH.
Yeah.
And ROH seem to be very happy contained in their little bubble. Don't, you know, they've been going for 15 years and mm-hmm. they're doing the same size shows. They're not actively trying to get into arenas and things like that.
Yeah.
New Japan will actively try and get into arenas because they're used to doing the Tokyo Dome and all this sort of thing. So they'll think to themselves, after the back of this, the G1, which was super successful,
mm-hmm.
after the back of that, they'll think, why can't we go to Madison Square Garden and sell a show out? And the answer is they could. With the talent that they've got, if Bellator can sell out, well, nearly sell out Madison Square Garden, New Japan definitely can.
Yeah.
So I don't think, personally, it's a coincidence that the standard has upped since the New Japan thing. Because, they've not done anything. They've literally, like, when I was sat watching the pay-per-view, and I was tweeting along with everybody, thanks very much for tweeting along with me if you did, I was like, they've literally thrown everything at this. The ambulance spot, it had fucking everything. It had the Hardys, the Iron Man fucking match, which was had 7 falls. And then had a twist of fate with 3 seconds to go and he hooked the leg on 2. You know, it was fucking crazy. It was crazy pay-per-view. I was sitting there thinking, God, they've thrown everything at Great Balls of Fire. Why? This is the only thing I can think of why. Because New Japan aren't going to start doing things like ambulance spots and things like that. What they're going to show is hard-hitting, strong-style wrestling, which at the moment we're massively into. So they're not worried that the kids are going to go. They're worried the adults are going to go.
I think.
And I've gone, ambulance spot. This match, that match, blah, 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 blah. Let's make it a bit more, let's have Brock Lesnar on Raw swearing.
Mm.
Like that sort of thing. Then keeps the attention of the adults,
yeah.
I think. What's your thought?
I think you're right. No, absolutely. I think you're right. For WWE expanding their reach and expanding their, they're superstars, so they want to, get more Japanese stars. They want to, recruit from, and they're recruiting from different companies and getting all different indie stars.
Yeah.
I think if you're any, like New Japan, for example, they're watching what's happened. They've seen some of their own people who've worked with them go over. They'll start seeing, in the same way, Progress and ICWC, the ratings start going up because people go, oh, that's where, like, they came from, New Japan.
Yeah.
I'll start watching New Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll all have increases. They'll all start seeing viewership go up because of the WWE, because people are starting to then look at back catalogues. Now, WWE are aware of that and they're in bed with Progress and ICW. So they're like, come to our network because we don't want to lose anybody to you. So they've stolen them. They've kind of ring-fenced ICW and Progress in a way, if they've got this deal and it's going to go through and everything. But it does leave the bigger ones that they can't just swallow up, who aren't going to be immensely flattered by being on the network. They've got their own shit going on and it's bigger in their own prospective country. They really can use the WWE to elevate, to start moving into new markets. It's become this like crazy reciprocal thing. WWE will know it. So then they are like, fuck me, like we're losing viewers. Their viewership's going up. Because they'll be likely to know that.
Yeah.
They're doing a show in America now. And yeah, like 100%. I think the more WWE become international and do start taking people from different promotions, it's not going to do them any harm because they're going to start getting indie eyes on their brand. But it is going to make people look at the indie brands more than they would and go and see them.
Yeah.
And that's... it's back to that, the Rogan thing, it shouldn't be a risk.
Cannibalization mentality.
Cannibalization mentality, yeah. It's not cannibalization, is it?
Yeah, that's just cannibalization mentality. So they're basically thinking that, say 5 million people watch Raw, that only 5 million people have got, that are wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Whereas they'd get 30 million people if the product was amazing and worthy of that. Not that it probably would now because people don't watch cable as much. But cannibalization mentality is that you have only got a certain amount of people that you can go for.
Famine
mentality.
Famine. We say cannibalizing audience, but yeah. He calls it his famine mentality.
I'm sure he said something about well, anyway, don't matter. But yeah, so famine mentality. Yeah, that sounds a bit better. So there's only a certain amount of people, which is not true whatsoever. There's like billions of people in the world. So if something's good enough, they'll watch it. Now, I just thought it was a very interesting thing that suddenly WWE, it wasn't like they got a tiny bit better, it's they got horrendously better.
Yeah.
Like, well, it just went through the roof.
They are going to have to accept the fact that by, like I say, broadening their horizons is going to put eyeballs on other brands.
Yeah.
And then if they look at the quality of that other brand and go, it's actually infinitely better than ours,
yeah,
we need to sort ours out a bit. Because there's loads of people watching that, and the viewership's only going up for New Japan.
Yeah.
Why? Well, it's a wrestling show for adults, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need to... It's all a good thing. It's all a really good thing.
Definitely.
If it makes them try a bit harder and feel threatened by the likes of New Japan, brilliant.
Yeah.
Because it's only going to make WWE more appealing to me again.
Totally.
And I want it to be. I want them to, you know, like the whole thing of... doing the rap battle when we know that Progress do the Wasteman Challenge, which is really... Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's quite coincidental. And if they weren't in each other's pockets, I wouldn't think anything of that, but they are. And I'm like, they see that show and they know what goes over. And I'm not saying that, you know, they've never had things like that before. Of course, it could be highly coincidental, but I do think it's too much of a coincidence.
Yeah, it is.
And it will only serve to up their game. And yeah, I imagine it is a purposeful thing of them going... okay, people are starting to watch these brands more. We are in danger of alienating the adult audience here.
Yeah.
And they're going to leave us, and then we'll just be left with the kids.
Yeah.
And then the wrestlers are going to leave us because they'll be bored and they'll want to go and do some decent wrestling.
Yeah.
So we might lose Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We might lose AJ Styles.
They've already lost Aries.
Do you know what I mean? Then their talent that they think are all just aiming for WWE... suddenly WWE isn't the holy grail and the best place to go anymore.
No.
Suddenly they might be in a competitive battle with fucking New Japan or Progress TNA's new outfit. Do you know what I mean? Like, they might find themselves competing, whereas before they were the best option.
The only game in town.
Yeah.
So my last point on this, very quickly, is that would somebody like Shinsuke have gone to WWE if this New Japan thing would have happened at the time? And I don't think he would have done. I think if they're going into a foreign market, it depends what New Japan do. If they just put on tiny shows, and let's face it, you know, 1,000 people is a tiny show.
Yeah.
It's an amazing atmosphere, but tiny show. If they keep doing that in bed with ROH, then they won't become a threat. If they announce a Staples Center, New Japan Pro Wrestling, massive card with everybody from ROH and New Japan on it, then WWE need to start shitting their kegs. Because if they do that and it's a success, they'll do it regularly. And because the wrestlers, like people like the Young Bucks, why would they ever want to go to WWE?
Mm.
If they're doing America shows in arenas and then they're going to Japan and doing arenas.
I know.
Why would they?
And they will lose talent. I think that'll be one of their biggest things, because if they lost a big name and New Japan were breaking into America and doing arenas, they only need that one big name. They only need that one, that Kevin Owens, or...
They're asking for somebody who is currently under contract with UFC, and that is becoming a very loud conversation.
What, who's that?
Punk.
Oh, really?
So Bullet Club are all over Punk at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, tagging him in shit.
Right.
Join us. And they've been doing that for ages, but it's been...
See, that'd be huge.
That would be it. If Punk said, I'm signing with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I'm going to be the star that brings them into America, then WWE in trouble.
Yeah, I agree. Because more people will go.
Yeah.
More people go. Fans, maybe not. Maybe that will take a bit longer. But I think that the disenfranchised talent that are getting shit spots every week will disappear.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might end up losing Balor. You might end up losing Owens if you hold Owens down and you don't get back in the title picture. You just don't know. You could end up losing Styles again. You could lose them all, because they'll go, well, I'll go there and it's exciting. It's part, you
West
know, it's part of something that's growing. They're going to pay me shitloads because they're making shitloads. They've got the money.
Yeah.
So,
and
yeah.
It's less wrestling dates because they're not doing house shows. So even if they did 12 events a year in an arena and they can go off and do their indie stuff for the rest of the time, it's like, why wouldn't I want to do that?
Exactly. Yeah. It's interesting.
It is interesting. I'm going to watch it like a hawk as well, because I really think that. I think Jeff Jarrett will sort his shit out and get Global Force or Impact or whatever it is. I think he'll get that back to where it was. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting me. I think WWE needs to up the game, and the recent weeks they have done. So they're nothing if not reactionary. So when they feel like they're under threat, then they will start improving the product. And to me, Battleground is going to be the test. If they throw everything at Battleground, then they feel a bit threatened, because they didn't need to throw as much shit as they did at Great Balls of Fire. The SmackDown pay-per-view was fucking awful. It was awful with all the false, the crap finishes and no real thing. But yeah, there we go. So do you agree, everybody? Do tweet us and let us know if you do. And until next time.
Cheerio, motherfucker.
Pip, pip.